Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing in the Easter season. This is week 7. We're making our way through to celebrate the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead, the ascension into glory. And then this coming weekend, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, that beautiful celebration of the church year, a fundamental reality that at the heart of the Christian life is a new life in the Holy Spirit. In some ways, Jesus, as the recent magisterium, has reminded us on many occasions that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost is the fulfillment of Jesus's mission. And in what way is it the fulfillment of Jesus's mission? Well, remember, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Blessed Mother. That act of God, the mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for the salvation of the world begins with, in the love of the Father's heart, sends forth the Holy Spirit, and His Son is conceived in the womb of Our Lady. It's the Holy Spirit who overshadows right from the beginning the entire mission of the church, and the incarnation is the big step one. You might say it's when the Lord becomes one of us, and then His whole story of His mission and His ministry, how does it begin? It begins with Jesus being baptized in the Jordan and a revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all present there. The Father saying, "This is My beloved Son," and there's a visible sign of a dove. The presence of the Holy Spirit is upon Jesus. There never was a time when the Holy Spirit wasn't with Jesus and united to Jesus from all eternity, but from His humanity and from the mission and the anointing that He was given for a particular mission for the sake of the salvation of the world is demonstrated there in the River Jordan, where John the Baptist baptizes Him. And then it's the Holy Spirit who leads Jesus into the desert, and spiritual warfare happens, right? Jesus goes and He declares His lordship. He's the king. And He goes mano a mano against the devil. And the devil tries to tempt Him the way he tempts other human beings, and he was unsuccessful. I mean, the craziness of the devil to say to the Lord, "I'll give you everything in this world, all the kingdoms of the earth, because I have control, if you bow down and worship Me." Well, here's one that would never bow down. He's seeing and he knows something is up. And what's up is that the Lord Jesus Christ became one of us, took on human flesh, so He could fulfill the Father's purpose for every single human being, and then enable human beings to participate in His life, in His saving work, that is a new life in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus there takes authority over the enemy, and then the Holy Spirit leads Him back, it says, to His hometown of Nazareth, and He's in the synagogue, and He takes up the Isaiah reading. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me. He's anointed Me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, to obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." There's a tremendous amount in that passage from Isaiah. It's meaning, it's Old Testament meaning, but it's fulfillment in Jesus. But the main thing I want to say here is Jesus is making a declaration as He's about to begin His mission of proclaiming the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And how does He do it? He does it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me. He has anointed Me to preach the good news, to liberate people." So Jesus goes forth. He preaches the gospel. Almost immediately after that moment in the synagogue, He encounters a demonized man, and boom, He delivers him with the authority, His authority, and under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Father's plan, the Father's purpose, and at the heart of this saving work of God is to make it possible for human beings who were made in God's image and likeness, who were made for glory but fell from glory, were united to God in fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden, but sin separated them from God, and powers and dominions ruling over the human mind and the human heart, human society, human culture, ever since. Jesus came to make it possible for human beings to be able to have a power that will enable them to live a new life. They have to become born again, as it talks about in the scripture, right? John's gospel, Jesus saying to Nicodemus, "Unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is inhabited by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the angels they've created, and human beings who repent and are baptized and come into new life in the body of Christ, in the church, and are now united to Jesus in that one body by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today's reading, the first reading of the day, is Paul is at Ephesus. And he meets, while he's in Ephesus, a number of people who were, he called them disciples. But he comes to find out that they were baptized, but that they were baptized in the baptism of John, which is a baptism of repentance. Because Paul asked him, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they said, we've never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And so Paul tells them, and Paul lays hands on them. He baptizes them, and he lays hands on them, and the Spirit of God comes upon them. And they begin, like we will celebrate this week on the day of Pentecost, they prophesied and they spoke in tongues. God's intention and the mission of Jesus is to unite the life of heaven to fallen human beings who are brought to new life. They're given, as St. John the Apostle said, power to become children of God. And what is that power? That power is the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So the life of Jesus throughout, we see his preaching and his teaching, the manifestations of the presence and the power of the Spirit, delivering people, setting them free, healing, understanding the kingdom, coming to repentance, as Jesus said. You know, Jesus' proclamation was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, later Jesus will send out the apostles under the anointing of the Spirit following the day of Pentecost in particular. They go forward in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come, repent. But the apostles say, Jesus Christ is Lord. The heart of the preaching of the apostles is a declaration of the fact of Jesus' victory over the powers of sin and death on the cross. His resurrection from the dead, by the way, with the power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and that he's fully now animated, he's full of absolutely free of all that this world has hold on in terms of the human race, that's holding the human race. Jesus rises to an entirely new reality, having destroyed the principalities and powers, the power of sin, the power of death, demonic power, absolutely free, beginning to radiate in glory. And he's now the head of the new race of people that is the new creation, fully animated by the Holy Spirit. So yesterday we celebrated then the next step in that, which was the ascension of Jesus in his body to the right hand of God the Father. I just want to read a few passages from the Catechism that can just draw us into this really amazing time of the church year, especially now as we come to the part of Jesus is entering into the presence of the Father in human flesh. And then the result of what that enthronement of Jesus means now for the salvation of the world that we will see in the Father's culminating plan for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Paragraph 665, Christ's ascension marks the definitive entrance of Jesus' humanity into God's heavenly domain. When he will come again, this humanity in the meantime hides him from the eyes of men. That's interesting. That's Colossians 3:3. The essential thing I wanted you to just see here in this paragraph was he entered into the heavenly domain of God the Father. He returned home one of us. Human flesh now, which was made for glory, enters back into glory in an entirely new way, God's way of salvation. Paragraph 668, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. So here's the central message of the gospel. Christ died, and Christ rose. He died for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. Paul said he died for our sins, and he was raised to come into new life, to make it possible to have our sins taken away and to come into the new life of God, God given to us. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and earth. He is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, for the Father has put all things under his feet. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history. In him, human history, indeed all creation are set forth and transcendently fulfilled. A lot of big words there, but it's meant essentially Jesus has been enthroned I want to talk about it today because we're going from the ascension. I touched on some of this last week, but I want to keep building here that the ascension is the new home, the place that human beings can go after we die, if we die in Christ. This is the new humanity, the new creation, the new reality, the kingdom of God. And it's because of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is and what he's capable of doing. Jesus was taken up to heaven, paragraph 669, taken up to heaven, and he was glorified fully in the presence of the Father. Father Joseph Fitzmyer, a Jesuit priest, passed away long ago, was a well-known biblical scholar, and his reflecting on the ascension and some of Paul's writing about Jesus' resurrection, ascension, and his pouring out of the Holy Spirit, he said that the glory that Jesus received from the Father became Jesus' power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. Friends, this is, again, why Jesus is the only Savior, why this is the only pathway, ultimately, to bring the human race out of the death-directed dilemma that we live in. Because God the Father has given to Jesus in this glory a power that enables him to give new life, to create new life in people who are dying spiritually, to give us new spiritual life. Another place he mentions, Jesus the Lord possessed a power derived from the Father, capable of bringing about the resurrection of Christians. Again, this is why Jesus is the only Lord. This is why he's the only Savior. It's so important for us to be able to see this. And then it leads to paragraph 667, simple paragraph. Jesus Christ, having entered the sanctuary of heaven once and for all, intercedes constantly for us as the mediator who assures us of the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said on the ascension, the day of the ascension, he said to the apostles, John baptized with water. I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And just a few verses later, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses throughout the world. And so what you see is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The life of God is given to us in baptism. So the foundational thing is that it makes us a new creation, a child of God, temples of the Holy Spirit. Right, that's the foundation. He gave us power to become children of God. And he's given us power in the Holy Spirit to take this message of Jesus, what he's done, what he's accomplished, his passion, death, and resurrection, to take the message that we're seeing every day in the Acts of the Apostles at Mass, the new boldness, the new power that animates the life of the apostles, and they're bringing people into the kingdom. Signs and wonders are being performed. People are being baptized. And like, again, today's reading, Paul's discovery in Ephesus, the Spirit of God is coming upon them. So baptism is just not just a symbol, you know, of, you know, water, a thing that we go through. No, this is, we receive the Holy Spirit and same in confirmation. And it's so critical for us to understand the Lord's purpose so that we receive it in faith, so the manifestations of those gifts really come alive in us. They become a lived reality. And it's not just, a ritual I went through once. No, it's the deeper fulfillment of what Jesus has plunged me into as a child of God in baptism, giving us new life in the Spirit. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.